I'm Craig Butler, business line executive for Archive Storage and IBM's storage brand, and welcome to our web seminar on how to get more from your archived information. By the way, we are recording this, so you can also access this session later. It's my very great pleasure to introduce Laura Dubois. Laura serves as the program vice president for IDC's storage software practice. The storage software program covers areas like archiving, data protection and recovery, replication, file systems, storage management, and orchestration of the storage infrastructure. Ms. Dubois is responsible for the program's consulting and advisory services, research offerings, and client relationships, and oversees IDC's team of storage software analysts. Currently, she's focused in the areas of long-term archiving, storage for medical records and clinical applications, and cloud storage. She's got over a decade of experience in the technology industry with a focus on compliance and fixed content archiving, data protection, replication, and storage management. Prior to joining IDC, Laura held various leadership positions in product management and software engineering for companies such as EMC Corporation, Storage Networks, and Hitachi Data Systems, and her expertise is often called on to present at industry forums and conferences, and she is frequently quoted in trade and press publications. She holds an undergraduate degree from Syracuse University and a master's from an MBA from Boston College. Laura, I'd like to turn over to you.
Great. Thanks so much, Craig. It's really great to be here, and thanks everyone in the audience for joining us today for this webcast. We're going to be spending the next 45 to 50 minutes talking about archiving. And as the theme of this webcast is getting more out of your archived information, we're going to be sharing with you some research with regard to what other firms are doing in the areas of archiving and information archiving. And we're also going to walk you through the IBM Smart Archive strategy. So thanks so much for joining us. I thought before I go into my prepared remarks, we'd get a little bit of a baseline of about where everyone in the audience is around their interest and drivers for archiving data. So I wanted to start out with getting a baseline of folks and their interest in archiving. So I'm going to push out a polling question. And the polling question you'll now see on your screen here. And the question is, why are you interested in archiving your data? Do you need to reduce overhead on your production servers? Are you looking to decrease your backup windows by archiving data out from a primary tier to a secondary tier? Are you looking to reduce your primary disk storage costs? Perhaps you have some business drivers around archiving, so whether that be responding to legal or e-discovery requests or possibly retaining records for a set period of time subject to regulatory compliance requirements. Or lastly, maybe you have a set of legacy applications that you're looking to retire, but you also want to ensure record access to that data in response to a compliance audit, for example. So these are the options, and really, we're really trying to understand kind of why you attended this webcast and what your interest in archiving. So I'm going to give it a few seconds to for the folks in the audience to respond. And one of the things that we see in our research is that there's a variety of drivers around archiving investments. And typically, there's one or two that are most predominant. And so we'd like you to think about what's your most predominant driver around archiving. So it looks like we've got some great responses here. So I'm going to go ahead and push the results from this polling question out. And so you should see that the results here on the screen. And it looks like just about 100% of the audience is retaining records for set periods of time. And so clearly that indicates a strong business driver around archiving. And that's pretty consistent with what we see. Actually, I'm going to share with you some research around a similar question that we did, and that's very consistent. Business drivers are really driving archiving investments. And given these drivers, what are the approaches that firms are using to drive archiving today? Because there's a variety of different methodologies that you can use. And so in a study, a poll that we did of IT professionals and executives, we asked them, what are the archiving methodologies that you currently have in use? And as you can see from the results here of about 200 respondents, that well over the majority, so 55%, which is a majority of firms, are still using their backup application to drive long-term retention. And the second next order priority in terms of how they're driving archiving is a standalone archiving application. And I want to make a distinction between backup versus archive. Backup is traditionally done for some kind of operational recovery, a recovery from a logical or physical error, versus archiving tends to be done for long-term retention of data, with the intent of at some point perhaps needing to retrieve that information. It also, archiving also drives a different functionality than backup for operational recovery. It typically has a full content index. An archive is typically searchable. It has some advanced functionalities that you really don't see in traditional backup applications. So given this as the backdrop for how folks are doing archiving, and of course there's other approaches here, backup application is the leader here, but dedicated archiving applications, dedicated archiving appliances, some folks don't archive at all in terms of they just keep the data in place on perhaps on NAS storage, or perhaps they've implemented a cloud archiving service, or maybe using a content management application to retain data for long periods of time. So those are some of different methodologies, but clearly backup and archiving are more of the primary approaches. So we looked at this same question with regard to segmentation by size of firm. And what's interesting here is that this, in looking at the results by all firms versus those firms with 1,000 employees or more, there tends to be stronger pressure and there tends to be a trend towards larger firms more likely to deploy a standalone archiving solution, whether that be in form of an application or a service. And why is that? Well, from my research, I've seen that larger firms tend to have greater or stronger pressures to ensure compliance, to find information quickly, to be able to search for specific information within an archive, to proactively prepare for e-discovery or audits. And also the volume of data in a larger firm is going to perhaps drive them to look to do archiving for efficiency gains as well, either production performance or stored capacity efficiency gains. So those are some of the trends that I see and why larger firms are perhaps more likely to invest in a dedicated archiving solution. And just before we move on from this, archiving typically includes, you know, a software layer that sits between the application that generates the content and the storage layer. And this archiving layer typically provides policy, indexing, data movement to a specific or several different storage layers, as well as advanced functionality like searching, like compliance reviews, et cetera. So I just want to make that distinction between, you know, backup for long-term retention versus archiving. Backup tends to be an application you use to do operational recovery, whereas archiving tends to be for retrieval of information. So with that as a backdrop, what's kind of driving archiving investments today? And we see it really breaking down into two key areas. You know, there's business drivers and there's technology drivers. And it's typically not one particular driver, but instead a mix of drivers that are driving investments in archiving. Business drivers include record retention, as our survey, our polling results showed. Firms need to comply with retaining specific records of specific content types for prescribed periods of time. And, for example, in the healthcare industry, you might have to retain a record for life of the patient or life of the patient plus some set period of time. In financial services, you might have to retain records for 3 years or 7 years. You also need to be able to respond to audit or discovery events. So that would also be a business driver, whether that be a compliance audit, an internal IT audit, a discovery request. So in the event of litigation, the ability to find emails or files or content subject to a particular user, group of users, keyword, time and date range. The third business driver that we're seeing is around data reuse. So being able to leverage the data in an archive to mine it for business advantage. So that could be looking at call center patterns, and looking at responses that customers have to particular products and then suggested enhancements for them. That could be things like in the healthcare space, studying archive data to look at mortality rates. So different ways in which data in an archive can be mined, can be analyzed, and potentially be reused for greater business value. On the technology side, a lot of significant benefits in archiving. Reducing IT costs, so the ability to effectively put the right piece of data on the right tier of storage. Improving disaster recovery. Improving performance. So if you're moving data out of a primary production environment into an archive, you're going to improve performance on that primary email server, for example. The ability to support application migrations. So you might want to archive before you migrate to a next generation of Exchange 2010, for example. So variety of technology drivers, largely optimization-based, whether that be performance or capacity-based, but also improving things like disaster recovery, shortening the backup window. If you have less data in your primary environment because you've archived some of it out to an archive tier, then your backup windows are going to be smaller, less data to back up. So those are some of the use cases that we see firms looking at when they're investing in an archiving solution. And in a different study of 500 executives and IT professionals, the results showed clearly here that archive investments are clearly being driven by business drivers. So the red circles here show responses that are business driver related. Compliance request or audit is a number one response, but also legal discovery requests, part of an information security objective, or needing to respond to internal investigations are all motivations. Over 60% said their most recent archiving of purchase was fueled by a business factor, of which these four are. Storage efficiency is also a driver, compressing storage budgets. So our research shows that firms are facing an encroaching component of their IT budget being storage, and so they're trying to curb that, and archiving is a way to try and help address that reality. We've also seen, you know, the economic recession that started in late 2008-2009 as driving an increased focus on cost-cutting benefits and storage efficiency technologies, clearly, of which archiving is one, clearly are a motivator. And then there's also this factor of most data center environments that I come across today, where there may not be information that's formally labeled in archive, but it's fixed in nature and it's not able to be deleted. I call this sort of the information rot problem, if you will. But it may be data on file servers, it may be data in applications, it may be data in SharePoint, information that's no longer kind of readily used. It may be even obsolete, but because of the business climate we live in and some of the realities in the IT organizations, it's often hard to go back and delete information. As an IT industry, we're not comfortable with the concept of delete, and so information continues to grow and expand, and we never do anything to sort of control or curb growth on the back end by sort of cleaning up or pruning out what we no longer need. So that's really the theme of kind of this next slide here is, as I said, the information rot problem. And on average, in the study, an average response said 18% of data is inactive or obsolete. And imagine if you could reclaim that 18% capacity, 8% or 18% of data and the capacity underneath it, and reclaim that storage and get all the benefits of reducing your backup window and getting the benefits of improving your IT and operational efficiency by reducing the capacity you need to manage. Realistically, that 18% of data that's inactive or obsolete is very conservative. My experience shows that it's often as high as 40% that's inactive or obsolete or even higher. And that's something as an industry, you know, that I think we're still struggling with, this reality that disposition, deletion is not done in most environments, and the benefits that you can gain from dealing with this information rot problem are a myriad of benefits. And I think this information rot problem is being addressed across a couple of different vectors within IT. And those vectors include storage efficiency technologies. So things like deduplication and compression are being invested in heavily to sort of reduce the footprint, make it smaller. But also there's tiering technologies that are being evaluated, whether that be on the block storage level or at the file storage level, to be able to move data to a lower cost tier of storage or tier it up for performance reasons. So I get a lot of questions, and so I thought I wanted to spend some time with the folks in the audience kind of articulating what I see as the differences between archiving and tiering. Capacity, 8% or 18% of data and the capacity underneath it, and reclaim that storage and get all the benefits of reducing your backup window and getting the benefits of improving your IT and operational efficiency by reducing the capacity you need to manage. Realistically, that 18% of data that's inactive or obsolete is very conservative. My experience shows that it's often as high as 40% that's inactive or obsolete or even higher. And that's something as an industry, you know. So archiving is typically going to be a software service that provides content-aware capabilities. So it leverages a full content index, or most solutions will also create a metadata index. The policies can be based upon the metadata itself as well as the content of emails, for example, or content within files. Most archiving solutions include options for e-discovery, search, and compliance. Most archiving solutions support a mixture of content. So this is actually really important. So it's not just not just archiving email, but also increasingly things like SharePoint content, SharePoint sites, file content from file servers, as well as maybe even file content from endpoints. And then I think we're still struggling with this reality that disposition, deletion is not done in most environments, and the benefits that you can gain from dealing with this information rot problem are a myriad of benefits. The archiving solutions will provide a form of single instance storage, and then we'll work with and across single instance storage across different content types. And then the archive targets will provide block level deduplication. So this, in comparison to tiering, and in this case I'm using file-based tiering. File-based tiering is typically a feature of a clustered file system or a file-based storage architecture. They leverage metadata only for their tiering policies, so file-based tiering really knows nothing about the content, right? It only deals with metadata. So you could archive based upon, you know, file age, file name, file size, file type, etc., but nothing about the content itself. And so similarly, you can't really do any search within the file tiering solution itself. So there's no options for e-discovery, search, or compliance. And file tiering obviously is specific to the file system or the architecture, and so it only supports file system archiving. And if you have a need for email or SharePoint or rich media, social media, as other firms do, or most firms that I talk to, then you're going to want to think about that. And the file-based storage may provide deduplication, so some of these file-based architectures are starting to provide deduplication either at the block or the file level. So those are some distinctions around archiving versus tiering, and hopefully that's helpful for everyone as we think about archiving. So one of the things that's a distinction here is the content, which can be archived between these two different approaches. And so I wanted to do another polling question and ask people, what type of content do you need to archive? Do you need to archive file system or file data? Do you need to archive structured application data? Do you need to archive messaging data, whether that's instant messages or email? Are you looking to archive SharePoint content, rich media content such as video, voice, or images, or other? Is there some other kind of category that you want to archive content for? So I'm going to push out the poll here to get some responses from our audience. And what I see is, I'll just share with you what I see in terms of trends while we're responding to this polling question. Firms typically start with archiving their Exchange or their messaging environment or notes environment. And then after they get comfortable with that approach, they then expand to other content archiving methodologies. So they might start with Exchange or Notes, and then they expand to file archiving. And then they might expand to SharePoint or social media or, you know, whatever their business drivers are. And so really here we're getting some great responses from the audience here. And it looks like there is approximately a 50-50 split between push the results out. Majority 50% of the audience wants to do file system or file data archiving, and 50% of the audience wants to do rich content archiving, video, voice, or images. And so that's a little surprising. I would expect some of you to want to be archiving messaging or email data. You may already have an investment there and are looking to expand beyond messaging, so that could be a possible reality as well. So I'm going to talk through a little bit about the content requiring archiving and why it continues to expand. So in this next graphic here, we'll start at the top. So rich media. You know, rich media is being driven by a variety of different requirements. So, for example, one firm I spoke to recently is a government body, and they're looking to do video archiving. They're capturing coastline data to look for illegal dumping on the coastline. And so they're looking to do archiving of video. File server content. So a lot of firms are dealing with the reality of NAS sprawl, and they're looking to try and consolidate and put in tiering strategies for their file environment. And so that's driving a file archiving strategy. But I would also say in our research, files and file systems are often a number two target for e-discovery. So I think it's a combination of IT and business drivers that are influencing file server archiving, file archiving. Databases. On the database side, one firm I spoke to was trying to retire 800 different applications, and we saw this application rationalization and application prioritization project start back around 2008, late 2008, and these application retirements really kind of are driven around cost and trying to standardize and right-size applications that are sort of their go-forward strategic applications. But the reality is there's a lot of legacy data in these databases and applications that needs to be retained. And so that's what I see as sort of a reality for database archiving, as well as performance. You know, the database is getting so big, and if you want to archive out particular components of a database to improve the primary database performance, and doing that in a schematically consistent manner is important. So you want to look at tools that can do that well. Endpoints, so PCs, laptops, BlackBerries, you know, the ability to provide access to archive from those, from endpoints like BlackBerries, but also the ability to archive content from a laptop or a desktop into an archive is important, in particular in very heavily litigious environments where thousands of custodians or employees in a company could be subject to a particular legal matter. And so being able to take frequent collections of endpoint data stored locally and move it into an archive. Log data, so that could most frequently is security logs, ensuring that security logs aren't tampered with. So being able to archive those in a secure and non-modifiable format. Voice archiving, so that could be call center information. It could be dictation files, such as in the legal or healthcare space. In the social media space, it's kind of an emerging area, but archiving of content from, for example, a corporate Twitter account, or archiving content from blogs or wikis or even SharePoint sites, and then also websites, so corporate sites which record, you know, which serve as like sort of a point-in-time record of that corporation. So that could be an externally facing website or an internal website. So those are definitely some of the dynamics I see driving archiving of these different content types. And I would just wrap it up with, as you're looking at archiving investments, there's factors you need to consider. So you need to think about, you know, what's your position and your firm's position on cloud or SaaS-based services, not only for archiving, but for the application itself. For example, what's your firm's position on moving email to the cloud or to a SaaS delivery model, in which case that might influence or might not your decision around an on-premise versus a SaaS-based archiving capability. You want to think about, and obviously moving to a cloud has implications in terms of security, or considerations in terms of security, SLAs, et cetera. Content to archive. So you want to choose an architecture that's extensible, that can support what content you need to archive today, but it can expand to other content types. I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, someone starts with a certain content type, and then it expands from there. So if you've invested in a solution that only handles one archiving of one content type, then you've got to have to restart restart the whole process with another RFP and proof of concept again when you're looking for that next content type. You want to think about your approach to message archiving. Do you want to use a journaling approach? Do you want to use a policy-based approach? So a journaling approach or a kind of all-in approach is going to put everything into a centralized mailbox, so it's sort of considered an all-or-nothing approach, whereas a policy-driven approach is going to allow you to create policies to archive only discrete content by user, group, et cetera. You want to think about the impact on users. Here is where policy comes into play. So you want to think about policy development can really have an impact on the whole overall archiving project. So, you know, do you want to start out with a 90-day archive and a 1-year retention policy? Or is that too aggressive and you want to start, you know, really maybe it's a 1-year archive and a infinite retention, and you do that for a year and then you get the users comfortable with archiving and then you maybe put more constraints on the policies. But really training users on kind of what to expect, clear communication on the archiving, the rationale and the policies is important. I also think archiving investments go better when there's buy-in and involvement from key stakeholders. So, for example, in larger firms, it's not uncommon to have paralegals or legal liaisons or legal IT project managers to be using some components of the archiving solution. So getting them to be part of the evaluation process is key so that they're comfortable with the functionality and the usability of the products. You want to look at doing benchmarks on scalability. Not all solutions are equal here in terms of scalability. That often drives in my experience, investment in a next generation solution because of scalability limitations with earlier products. Performance and search results. Typically, search results are one of the key challenges with earlier generation solutions as well. On the cloud side, we're starting to see search result SLAs actually coming into play, so guaranteeing that search results will come up in a certain percent of search results will come out in a certain amount of time. So looking at that, planning and expectation setting, I think we sort of touched on some of those, and then integrated solutions. So, you know, archiving is an investment that touches many different areas. So it integrates with the application, whether that be, Exchange or SharePoint, for example, or Notes. It as well integrates with the storage layer. So you want to think about a solution that has all those integration points covered. And so I see there definitely being a trend towards integrated solutions to help ensure that all of those touch points are properly integrated and smoothly deployed in a customer site. So with that, I think I've covered some of the key issues and factors to consider when you're looking at making an investment. With that, I'd like to thank you very much for listening to my component of the presentation, and now I'd like to turn it over to Craig. So, Craig?
Thank you, Laura. That was indeed a great introduction to the archiving space, which is you know, very broad and has lots of different things you can do within it. Accordingly, I'm going to kind of focus on one area I think that everyone in the audience is familiar with, which is the area of email archiving and files, content management, in the context of litigation support. But I know there were folks in the audience who had questions about other areas, and I would invite you, if you would like, to use the email address I have on the screen, cnbutler@us.ibm.com, and send me questions about what IBM can do in other areas, and I'll be happy to start setting you up with answers. The other way, of course, is to contact your local IBM sales team or business partner. Let me go on to the chart entitled Information Governance Problem. These are statistics that come from various places, and I know the font at the bottom of the chart is very hard to read, so I'll actually talk about the sources. We know from industry averages that about 3.5% of the typical company's revenues are spent on the IT function, on information management. And this is, it's a difficult amount because the growth of information is extreme. IDC publishes a digital universe study. They did one in May 2010, and that's where the 44 times figure over 2009 to 2010 comes from. But that is the increase in the amount of data we believe that companies are going to hold over that time frame. And that is extremely large. Most companies are spending only a little bit of money for litigation support and email archiving and related areas. Yet they're at risk. In a Fortune 1000 company, the average cost to collect, cull, and review information on one legal case, just one good one, is $3 million. This figure comes out from the Conference on Civil Litigation at the Duke Law School. We also know that their industry estimates, the smallest one of which I've seen, actually, says that 70% of information is unnecessarily retained. So one of the things we're spending that $3 million on is looking through all that information, trying to find those things that really relate to a particular case. Surveys, in this case, it was there's a report from the Compliance Governance and Oversight Council, excuse me. And this is in a report published in October 2010 that's available on the web called the CGOC Benchmark Report on Information Governance. They cite that 98% of companies say defensible disposal is key result for them in their governance program, yet only 22% of the companies self-report that they can defensibly dispose data today. So we have a gap here in what we're doing versus what our aspirations are. We'll move to the next chart. This presents a survey that an IBM customer did within its own internal operation. They went and looked at their email storage. They tracked it from the origination where the email was generated and attachments placed on it. They found on the average that a given email was forwarded, copied, and stored by users on an average of 12 times. So, there's an incremental effect here per email. Then it was backed up. Because of, the typical incremental and full backup cycles, it was backed up daily, weekly, and monthly to create as many as 121 copies. Now, along the way, none of these copies were indexed. None of them were made searchable. And as a result, we have this pileup of data just from the email function. There are similar things that happen with other data, office files like doc files, PDFs, Excel spreadsheets, and so forth. Even database data can be replicated many times in this manner. Not typically to 121 copies, but we have the same problem where it's not indexed and searchable. And this leads to the problems that Laura was talking about earlier, many cases for the data center, which is an operational impact on IT and its customers. What does this do, the data center and the IT function? Well, it impacts the information infrastructure in several ways, which are summarized on this chart. The rising volume complexity, which you see on the left, created today, has surpassed what organizations faced in the past, and it leads to the effects in the middle. Production systems get overloaded with information, which has a negative impact on their productivity. They slow down. In many cases, it may result in customer or user dissatisfaction. You can miss your SLAs. Sometimes it can lead to a loss of availability of the system even, and therefore a loss of revenue. You end up being less reactive to the business drivers that Laura mentioned earlier. And I also want to underscore something she said. You know, she noted that 55% of customers report that their data center are backing up everything instead of archiving, largely because they don't know what to archive versus what not to. But this drives backup processes take longer, and that impacts the application availability because you've got to be down at times for the backup window. And the need of adding up all that storage to keep up with the information growth increases the cost and complexity in its own right, just from the backup function. So the first two on the chart compromise your business productivity, while the last two compromise your ability to respond to legal requirements. And they all affect your staffing levels and even the morale in the data center because people begin to feel that things are out of control. You know, how am I going to get through the next backup cycle, for example? Let's look at the next chart around simple logic. This is what we are trying to do when we set up an archiving application. We're trying to get to the point where we know what we need to preserve for litigation and regulation or to develop a service for a customer, and you know what to keep, what you need to keep for its business value and for how long. And if you do that work, then you know what you can throw away or don't need. So the first thing you need to do is segregate the necessary from unnecessary data. Necessary data is data that has to be kept because it has business utilities. It's subject to a legal hold, perhaps, or you're subject to a regulation in your industry that mandates its retention. And then you need to decide for how long you need or are required to store the data. If you follow this logic, you can manage everything as if it is of value because you know it has value. And why? You know you're in compliance or why you aren't. You don't need to spend as much to manage unnecessary data or too much to preserve it and produce it unnecessarily. So how can IBM help its customers reduce the impacts of this in the various ways? Well, we can... I'm trying to build the chart, and it's not building here, so let me just cover it. We do it three ways. Through defensible disposal, you'll be able to remove from your infrastructure information that's not needed. The second way is from the you can implement an IBM Smart Archive Strategy solution, which I'll talk about on the next several charts. That will enable you to streamline production applications and systems, enabling SLAs, simplify backups, and reduce primary data storage requirements. And you could implement an e-discovery or value-based retention management strategy to improve your ability to respond to legal requirements, make e-discovery and value-based retention management easy, and reduce the time and resources you spend on reproducing information for legal and audit purposes. So we do that through IBM Smart Archive Strategy. This is a fairly complicated chart, but let me explain it fairly quickly. At the top, you have various sources of data. So things that you might need to retain can be, you know, can be birthed as digital data, office files, for example, in kind of the data funnel, content, which could be documents, images, video, things like recordings of conversations with customers calling into your service, emails, notes in exchange, ERP or CRM applications like SAP, PeopleSoft, collaborative applications like Quicker or SharePoint, reports generated by databases or database archive or your annual or monthly or weekly reporting cycle, and even paper documents that you've had in the past but you decide that you need to archive, which can be scanned in and admitted to the system. We have an optimized and unified assessment, collection, and classification product set. It's called IBM Content Collector, and it has collectors for all of the data types that are listed on the upper part of the chart. We can then deliver this with storage infrastructure, either on your premises by building a custom configuration out of components, or through the use of a storage infrastructure appliance, which I'm going to talk about next, called the IBM Information Archive, or we can offer you access to a cloud service where you can store your data. And we have multiple options for that, including our Smart Archive Cloud. We can integrate all this with services, with software, and with the hardware. Or we can mix and match with components that you may already have in your data center or that come from ISVs or even IBM's competitors. So this chart is here to demonstrate the breadth of IBM's capabilities in the archive marketplace. Let me talk a little about the IBM Information Archive. It's the appliance I mentioned on the previous chart. This is a fully integrated archiving solution. It was developed from scratch to do archiving. It provides the long-term retention and protection of data. It does this by integrating several IBM products inside our highly scalable file system, the General Parallel File System, or GPFS. It uses our Tivoli Storage Manager software for hierarchical storage management inside. It has IBM disk products. It has an internal SAN. It can optionally work with tape to add a third layer of archive. It provides three storage pools, is the way to think of it, called collections. And each collection can be individually tailored to provide a match to a particular archiving application. So you could use IBM Content Collector for this, with this, for example, in one scenario to archive emails and files. You could at the same time hook it up to our Optum product for database archiving. And in a third collection, you could perhaps mount that collection as a NAS mount point and just sweep files to it that you want to keep for a long period of time, perhaps in a server retirement situation. Now, each of those three collections is individually tailorable. For example, you can choose to use deduplication, which is provided in IA, at no extra charge, or not. You can choose per collection to whether to have tape on the back end. You can choose whether you replicate the data in the collection to another IA, or back it up. And there's a number of other settings about security, about the interface that you access it with, and so forth. But the key point I want you to leave with is handles multiple collections, so a lot of flexibility, and can be matched to the individual archiving application. So through these things, IBM innovation can drive a complete smart archive strategy in your data center, because we can link up our software capabilities. We have some of the leading archive products on the market today, like Optum in the database archiving space, like IBM Content Collector that has a very broad breadth, FileNet, Content Manager. We can give you a choice of management models with these by using either the Information Archive appliance or something customized on your shop, at your shop, for particular from components you may already have. And we've got a choice of pre-integrated and pre-configured delivery methods. I'd like to talk about one of them on the next chart. We actually have a bundle of IBM Content Collector with the IBM Information Archive. We deliver this as a pre-tested, pre-installed solution from our custom service center. And this is expandable in the future to the other connectors that are, or collectors that are listed on this page. So you could start with email and file systems archiving, and then expand later to Microsoft SharePoint or SAP or other kinds of databases. We also have numerous other options for this. And so, you know, putting this in as a starting point, and then with an IBM IA information archive infrastructure solution, each provides, you know, a starting point, but then growth in terms of flexibility. You don't need to know the full set of applications that you need to archive with to start with. You don't need to know the full set of data types that you need to start with at the start, and you can add data later, data in new directions later without bringing in yet more infrastructure or starting over. So this approach has gained a lot of backing from the analyst community, and Laura was kind enough to provide this quote that's on this page. You know, there's if you came to the industry 3 years ago, you would have seen that email archiving was pretty much just limited to email. Now the demands are around starting with email and files, but expanding in more directions, and that's what we can do with this approach. Finally, I'd like to leave you with some customer examples. For example, we had a bank in Latin America. The bank needed an archiving solution to help them reduce costs and simplify management, reduce their disk capacity requirements, and have the ability to eliminate the need to maintain two separate platforms for structured and unstructured data that they needed to archive. And we were able to provide that with the combination of IBM Information Archive and IBM Content Manager on Demand. And they were able to achieve improved access to information through a centralized repository and manage their data costs effectively by moving the account info to a less expensive storage repository. And they can protect the data for the long term in a non-erasable, non-rewritable format. The logistics company listed was looking for a solution to replace its optical hardware, as many customers are now, with an archiving system. And we answered that with a combination of IBM hardware, software, and services along with an IBM information archive. They got out of it greater flexibility, a better performance than they had certainly with the optical system, and a more stable environment. Third example was a public education bureau, happened to be in Europe. This customer needed a solution to lower its total cost of ownership in combination with a disaster recovery solution. And we satisfied their requirements with a combination of IBM servers, software services, and an IBM information archive. They were able to store their information in a non-erasable, non-rewritable solution suitable for all the types of data. They met some requirements that they had for in their industry to be compliant with certain regulations as documented by KPMG with the information archive. Finally, another European Chamber of Commerce benefited from implementing an IA in its infrastructure because they were able to achieve a disaster recovery solution. They basically mirrored their data between two IBM information archives located in separate data centers and thereby protected their critical information. These are some of the just examples of some of the things that we can do with an information archive in conjunction with IBM archiving software, or indeed with other sources of archiving software. Finally, why IBM? IBM now delivers the industry's most comprehensive set of specific solutions according to that smart archive strategy, and we'd like to come into your shop and help you reduce the cost and complexity of point solutions by setting up your infrastructure with a good basis that can grow flexibly in a lot of directions, as I've covered. We can help you minimize your risk of litigation exposure. We can help you comply with regulations. We can get your storage growth a little more manageable, and we can give you the feeling that you really know what you're doing in terms of archiving and handling the growth of your data. At this point, I'd like to turn it over for questions to the audience, and I'll give you some time to type in a question. I've got one that's already arrived, but I'll give you a little more time. first one is, if I'm backing up my data in my archiving, I might take that one. The answer is maybe, but probably not. There's a distinction. Frequently, customers end up backing up all the data and thinking they're archiving because they don't know what data to select or not. So, yes, you're retaining it, but no, it's not typically indexed, and it's going to be very difficult to find it later, and particularly find it in an economic, cost-effective way. I would say that, you owe it to yourself to investigate archiving and trying to find a better solution. Here's another one. How do I set my retention policies? Laura, do you want to take this?
Sure. So, in general, retention policies can be set at different levels. So, if you're using a content management application, for example, you might have the ability to set retention policies there. In which case, you want an archiving solution that can inherit or integrate with the higher level content management tool. In this case, we'll just use example FileNet to be able to enforce and accept the retention that are set at the application level. So it's important that you have integration with the application where the retention policies are set. However, most archiving applications can also support retention policies. So you can set the retention policies through the archiving application itself. So they can be done sort of in both places. It's important that you have integration between the application and the archiving layer to ensure that there's consistency and enforcement of retention policies that are set at the higher level. But then if you don't have a higher level application, say in the case of file archiving, for example, you'd want an archiving layer that can set the retention policies, where you can set the retention policies natively within the archiving layer. Information Archive, I believe, and Greg, you correct me if I'm wrong, you're the expert on Information Archive, but Information Archive can support kind of both of those scenarios for ensuring, one, retention policies are inherited, and then two, but also the ability to set retention natively within the Information Archive. I guess it'd be set within the content collector component of Information Archive.
Right, Laura. Yes, it can. That's exactly what I was talking about when I talked about the settings on collections so that you can match them to the archiving application, because frequently they're different. And I'd also add that many archiving application stacks now come with they'll have various different terms for it, but IBM Content Collector comes with a set of what they call industry templates. So, for example, if you're in the, I don't know, oil and gas industry, there are typical things that one might do with emails, and there's kind of a preset template that's been developed based on that specific industry that customers can start with at least. Have another question here. Currently, my company only needs to archive data sheets, but we'll need to archive other types of information in the future. Can IBM Information Archive help? Not sure what data sheet refers here to, yes, almost certainly. Let me give you some examples. So, archive data sheet might be something scanned in, perhaps, into, say, PDF documents. So one way we could do that is feed them into the IBM Content Collector archiving app that I talked about and put that into one collection of IBM Information Archive. And then maybe in the future decide, well, I also need to do database archiving. You could then use a second collection on the Information Archive with, say, Optum software for that. Or you might decide, hey, in the future I need to work with, say, Microsoft SharePoint. You could add that thing to the IBM Content Collector application pointed at the first collection of IA and go that way. And so, you know, there's flexibility both in the archiving software and in the storage infrastructure to handle future requirements that you don't even know about today. Here's another one, Laura, I think maybe I'll throw to you. What are the challenges organizations face when implementing an archive solution?
Yeah, sure. So I think one of the big things I see is, so a firm, you know, does an evaluation, they do a proof of concept, they like a particular product, or capability of a particular vendor. They make the purchase, they schedule the implementation. People come on site, you know, there's an implementation process. And then they get to that point and they realize, well, they don't know what their policies are. And so implementations can often be held up because the policies haven't been set up. And that's where people come into play. People and interaction between different stakeholders, whether that be IT, even within IT, you might have different components within IT, say a exchange administrator or a messaging administrator, virtual infrastructure administrators, and then on the business side, you know, risk management, compliance, legal, e-discovery, project managers, so a whole host of people that have, and maybe business units themselves, HR, that have a say and are going to be the influencers, if not the setters, of policy. Policy for when to archive, policy for how long to retain, policy for destruction, policy for legal hold, policy for legal hold or preservation, and policy for collection. So all of these policies and protocols need to be established, ideally before you actually get to the point where you're implementing the product. And ideally are going to be part of a sound engagement with the supplier. It's got someone that you really want to look for, someone that can help you work through some of those policies. And so I think, you know, deciding what to archive, setting up the policies, also integrating the whole overall solution. So I talked about the different components of archiving. It's similar to backup in that it touches a lot of different components, the application level, the network, the storage level. Other challenges include scalability of the solution, and that could be in terms of message ingestion performance that you're expecting, the number of mailboxes that can be supported per an archive server, so the sort of the adequate fan-in ratio. So those are some of the things that to be thinking about and planning for, when implementing, and ideally before you actually get to the implementation of an archiving solution.
Right. And as I mentioned, you can ask IBM for help with this, either in the forms of templates that apply to your industry. We do have some knowledge on a per industry basis around how to set up your retention policies. I mean, I couldn't agree more with Laura's point that you need to get your storage retention policies defined and set up at the beginning and not change them later. And of course, we also have consulting services available to help work your company through these things if you need them. I have another question here. What's IBM doing to help organizations address these challenges? I just mentioned a couple. I'll add one more in the case of the scenario I went through about emailing and litigation support. We do have a bundle where we have pre-tested all the components together, the archiving application plus the storage infrastructure, which is the IBM Information Archive. We pre-install the software on servers at our own manufacturing floor and ship it to you all ready to go for installation, which can save you time, save you money, take some of the risk out of the implementation process and so forth. I got another question here. How do I get started? I don't know. Laura, you want to me to take this one?
I think, you know, you want to clearly, you know, IBM has a great solution here, and IBM has a longstanding strength in information management, storage. So, you know, I think they would be great to, they would be a great place to start in evaluating your solution. Consider, you know, your solution options, and I think the thing maybe 2 points that maybe distinguish IBM is that business capabilities around, you know, policy and policy setting and kind of consultative services as well as technology services. And the other thing I think is also, you know, the information archive solution has a variety of ways to get data into the archive. And that's important because, you know, maybe you have just general file data that you want to move into the archive. And so Information Archive obviously has application integration with a variety of different content sources, but also, you know, presenting just standard NFS and SIFS interfaces to be able to, you know, move data into the archive that way, so using standard protocols. So I guess those would be two things just to call out from what I've heard Craig talk about as being advantages with IBM.
Yeah, both great ideas. One more question, and probably this will be our last one for time. Where can I find more information about Information Archive and the IBM Smart Archive strategy? Well, first of all, on the website, you go into www.ibm.com. You can look for information about the IBM Information Archive in the product pages, either on Tivoli or the storage brand. And the Smart Archive strategy, you can find links for there, too, or search and find it. But the best way is to call up your IBM business partner or sales rep and say that you want them to come in and talk about these things within the context of your own company situation, which is, of course, what we're in existence to do, to help you. So that's the answer there. With that, I think I'm going to close things, and thank you very much for your time and your interest, and please do call us up. We would like to help you with these kinds of issues and problems. Thanks.